it seems like kind of like an accident almost.
But still beautiful,
yes,
right?
Yes, but it was a beautiful mistake or something.
If the whole theory of evolution is just like a ruse or a prank, we've done a really good job. Like, we're really good at pranking people.
Evangelicals have camps, Catholics have camps, and so we believe that there's a need to have an alternative for students that are kind of exploring other options out there.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Some voices from, it's called Camp Inquiry in upstate New York, a camp for young skeptics. They go there, they do all the things that ordinary kids do at summer camp. You go to the average evangelical camp, Catholic camp, Protestant camp, wherever you go. Christians have camps all over the place. They go, they roast marshmallows, they cook hot dogs over the fire, they sing camp songs, they do their activities, their crafts, they make their lanyards, and some of them are doing it with a message that is theistic, even Christian. There's a God in, that has created this world, and others, like Camp Inquiry, the camp for skeptics. When they sit down and tell their stories, God is not part of the story. When they sit down and sing their songs, God is not part of the songs. And when they have their campfire conversations, it's about a world without God, a universe without God, and in many ways a response to all those Christian camps out there. We're going to listen to a National Public Radio story here for the remainder of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and welcome back. It's Audio Open Lines. We're going to play a little bit of this story, stop it, and get your reaction. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 14th of August. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. So picture, if you will, an experience that you had as a child, many did. Trees, campfires, cabins, eating the bad food, swimming in the murky lake, all of those things go along with it, except in this case, it's not a Christian camp or an ordinary summer camp. It's a camp, some might argue, for young atheists.
At Camp Inquiry in upstate New York, kids hike and swim and tell ghost stories around the campfire, all the usual stuff. They also spend time contemplating a universe without God. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty went to visit.
The glow of a campfire on a warm summer night. Kids in shorts and sandals, chocolate and marshmallows.
Older campers, please grab your s'mores. We're going to go take a walk.
A few yards from the campfire, kids squint into a telescope as amateur astronomer Alan Friedman looks on.
We're looking at Saturn.
Oh, cool.
I see it.
Just barely.
Camp Inquiry seems like an ordinary summer camp for about 5 minutes. But as 12-year-old Chloe Morgan gazes at the stars, she does not see the handiwork of God.
It seems like kind of like an accident almost.
But still beautiful,
yes,
right?
Yes, but it was a beautiful mistake or something.
Right. Nearby, a dozen kids launch into a bull session guided by Nathan Bupp. Bupp works for the Center for Inquiry, the secular humanist group that runs the camp. Most of these kids don't go to church, and like 14-year-old Bria Sutherland, they have little patience with creationist accounts of the origin of life.
Because, you know, people like, oh, fossils are planted and they aren't really real. Like, if the whole theory of evolution is just like a ruse or a prank, we've done a really good job. Like, we're really good at pranking people.
From there, the young philosophers turn to the nature of faith.
As soon as someone mentions faith in an argument, the argument is over. Faith and the scientific method can't be combined into the same argument.
That's 15-year-old Ryan Lee. As he talks, something unexpected happens. A believer moves into the circle.
I'm probably like the only one here. I grew up not in a Christian home, but my grandparents are, and that's kind of what I believe in.
Everyone turns to look at 15-year-old Troy Salone. They listen politely as he tells the group that, unlike many of them, he wants to believe in God and in Christianity.
But as a skeptic, how can I just look up and talk if I don't know that this person is up there, you know, listening to me? How can I pray? How can I believe in him? Because I've always been so much of a skeptic, and listening to scientific reason, I just can't.
Afterwards, Troy says he knows he's outnumbered, but he says he's passionate about science and wants to test it against his faith.
Okay, we're listening to some audio from National Public Radio on Camp Inquiry. It's a camp for young skeptics. That's the term that they use. It's audio open lines. I want to hear from you, your reactions. We'll go back to the story in just a moment. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Thursday, August the 14th. It's run by the Center for Inquiry. Now, that term, inquiry, Camp Inquiry, the Center for Inquiry, is an interesting choice of words, don't you think? When we might have Camp Jesus or Jesus Camp or Camp Christianity or whatever you want to call it, God's Camp. You could name any of the Christian camps anything you want to. They all seem to try and say something about their beliefs in the name. Camp Inquiry seems to say, well, here we invite open inquiry, free thought, careful scrutiny of every idea. You know, they call that in marketing positioning yourself, branding yourself against your competitor. It seems to me that by naming it Camp Inquiry, young skeptics gathering there talking about their beliefs or their lack of beliefs, something's being said. Well, these Christian camps, they don't invite inquiry, free thought, conversation, questions. How would you respond to these young skeptics who say, look, I'm perfectly comfortable with a universe without God? And the young man who said, the minute faith enters the conversation, the argument, the debate is over, because who can argue with faith? It's not based in fact. How would you respond? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines this Thursday, August the 14th.
That's one of the things that drew me to this camp and trying to kind of give me more reason to go with the scientific reasoning of the world and the universe and stuff.
Have you found that yet?
No, but the week's not over. So.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for knowing.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want it on top of your meal or on the side?
The next morning, 27 kids line up for a vegetarian breakfast of oatmeal, yogurt, granola, and strong coffee and tea for the adults. Fully caffeinated, Nathan Bupp says everyone has a camp. Why not non-believers?
Evangelicals have camps, Catholics have camps, and so we believe that there's a need to have an alternative for students that are kind of exploring other options out there.
Bupp says polls show that people who believe in reason and not in God are among the fastest growing groups in America. This camp is designed to teach children to investigate and question everything. They study fossils. They learn about morality without religion. They meet an expert who debunks mysteries like weeping icons and ghosts and crop circles.
It's a brain spa.
Counselor Angie McQuaig says Camp Inquiry is a place where children can explore ideas freely without judgment.
It's just sort of a free thought extravaganza.
Are you guys trying to create little atheists?
Absolutely not. Far from it. We want to create little thinkers.
McQuaig says some parents specifically want their kids to be immersed in atheism, which she quickly adds is not their mission. In some families, though, the camp creates a little tension. Patrick and Jean Wall dropped by from Delaware to see their two children, ages 10 and 7. She's religious. He's not.
I had no objection to their being raised Catholic, so long as when they were old enough to understand, I would have just a chance for rebuttal.
As her husband speaks, Jean Wall winces slightly.
I do believe in God, and I do believe in miracles, and I do believe in faith when you're at the lowest of the low, and I want to give that to my children.
As soon as they read Richard Dawkins, I'll win.
If atheists and agnostics are in the majority at Camp Inquiry, they're often alone in their schools and neighborhoods.
All right, we're listening to a National Public Radio story on Camp Inquiry. They say they're not trying to form little atheists. They're just trying to produce little thinkers. You know, the presupposition behind the title, the presupposition behind the entire enterprise of Camp Inquiry seems to be that Christians, by definition, aren't thinkers. They don't think. They just believe, or they just emote. I got to wonder, he says, if the minute they read Richard Dawkins, I win. That's the atheist father. I've read Richard Dawkins, and even if I weren't a Christian, he wouldn't be that convincing. His caricature of Christianity is pretty disturbing, in fact. But laying aside Richard Dawkins, think about it. What's happening at the Christian camps? They're singing Kumbaya, and It Only Takes a Spark, and the theology they're getting is, Well, I think the kids would call it lame at the very most. You got Camp Inquiry down on the other side of the lake. The average kid says, which do I want to do? Spend my time talking openly about these ideas of philosophy and ethics in the universe, or sit around making lanyards, singing Kumbaya, It Only Takes a Spark, and listening to a camp director's Bible study that may be less about Jesus and more about me and how I feel? I don't know. When I was a teenager, even though I was raised in a Christian home, I might have opted for Camp Inquiry, if only for the entertainment value, if only for the mental stimulation, with no intention, of course, of becoming an atheist. I want to hear from you about Camp Inquiry, making little atheists a new evangelism program for the atheists or skeptics. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, I never went to camp as a kid. Maybe that's the reason I turned out the way I did. I did counsel at a Christian camp one summer, longest 11 weeks of my life. I got a great tan, though. I'll have to say that. But my experience was, this really isn't, even though it was called a Christian camp, this really isn't delivering to the kids what's central to the Christian faith. Why are the atheists doing a better job of delivering their belief system at summer camp than Christians are? When we come back, more audio open lines.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Craig, Audrey Riojas, Laura Horn, James Genthy, Pam Mueller, Kathleen Berg, Carla Kent, Pastor Jesse Cruzmark, Sally Matroki, Bruce Ezel, and Bethany Berg. Thanks for your support.
The Bible, should we take it literally?
Answers with Ken Ham, an internationally known Bible conference speaker.
Now, while I often say that we must take the book of Genesis as written, should we take the whole of the Bible literally? Oh, we've actually got to be very careful here. You see, first of all, you should know that Jesus quoted from Genesis when he talked about the origin and foundation of marriage, so he took Genesis literally. Also, the Apostle Paul quoted from Genesis when writing about the first Adam and the last Adam, and so he took Genesis literally. But that's because Genesis was written as history. You see, it's typical of Jewish historical narrative. But there are other passages that aren't meant to be taken literally. The book of Psalms says that the trees clap their hands. Now, of course, they don't, but we still understand what the passage means because we know the Psalms are poetic songs. We need to take the Bible the way it was meant to be taken. Some of the Bible's books were written to express things symbolically, but then it's obviously so and tells you so, like the parables of Christ. But remember what the psalmist said when referring to Genesis, "Thy word is true from the beginning."
Did you know that the Bible calls Christ the last Adam? Well, for the connection, you need to watch a copy of our well-done documentary, The Last Adam. It shares the life of Christ in a very evangelistic way. As we close out this week, this is one of the last opportunities to receive this wonderful DVD for your gift of any size. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. 888-89-ANSWERS.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Camp Inquiry. Atheist camp? Skeptic camp? What's the difference between a skeptic? I always considered myself something of a skeptic. You know, when they talk about crop circles, I'm as skeptical about the crop circles as anybody else. Bigfoot, all of those paranormal things that are so popular. But I imagine if I walked into Camp Inquiry and said, I'd like to engage in some free conversation, some free thinking, that includes God as the Creator, revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, incarnate, an atoning sacrifice, a death on the cross that pays for the sins of all the world. The Holy Spirit continuing to reveal this Jesus Christ through God's Word, through Scripture. I don't know if they'd be open-minded enough to hear what I have to say. I think Christianity should try and be part of that open marketplace of ideas. Are the skeptics open-minded enough to talk about it seriously without dismissing it as though faith is just anti-reason? I want to hear from you as well. 1-877-623-MYIE or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Yeah, I think, you know, it's great that they have a camp. I think that Christians should also have a camp that encourages thinking and reason, and maybe we could learn something from these people. I don't know if, I'm not saying that Christians don't, but I am saying in general, in our culture, when it comes to faith-based things, I just talked with a friend last week who is a very, she would consider herself a confessional Lutheran, and she told me that she was going to do the God thing and turn her brain off. And I was just flabbergasted with that. I know exactly what I wanted to say to her. I didn't want to offend her, so I kept my mouth shut.
Well, what did you want to say to her, Kathy?
Well, I wanted to say, you know, you can do the God thing every day, and you can have your brain on. You don't have to do the God thing and do things that are illogical and don't make sense. If God's called you to be a wife and a mother, that is the God thing. You don't have to go do something churchy and turn your brain off when you know you don't have the time, the money, or the energy to do that God thing. she considered it a God thing because she was going to do it in church.
Interesting. So, Kathy, thank you so much. I want to do the God thing and turn my brain off. I've never heard that before, but what chance do we stand against those who say, open your mind, think freely, use the brain that the universe gave you rather than use the brain that God gave you, when there are Christians who say, in order to do the God thing, the brain's got to be shut down? 1-877-623-MYIE. You know, we call Issues Etc. talk radio for the thinking Christian because thinking and being Christian are not mutually exclusive. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. DB is listening in his car. Hi, DB. Welcome.
Hey, Todd. How you doing? Hey, one time I worked for a liberal denomination, and I was given a week of camp that I could do anything I wanted with a bunch of fifth and sixth graders. So we organized the camp based on the Old Testament, and during the day we showed them all the various things, stories and events in the Old Testament, built a model tabernacle they could walk through, and in the evening, well, the pastor taught about Christ fulfilling the Old Testament in his life, death, resurrection.
That is, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, the final thing we did was they were broken into tribes all week, and they were given a little lamb, and the kids would sleep with this lamb, and they would carry the lamb with them. The tribe wasn't allowed to let go of the little lamb all week. And at the end of the week, on the last day of camp, they had to give up the lamb and put it on the, we didn't burn them or anything, but we put them on the altar, and they had to, then we talked about the sacrifice of the true Lamb of God.
Now, that sounds like a real Christian camp to me, not just people singing Kumbaya and eating their s'mores in a particularly Christian manner, or pass it on, or any of the other kind of hackneyed Christian camp things that get done over and over again, even though everyone realizes that they are as hackneyed as they are. Thank you very much, DB. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Sharon emails us. She says it's ironic that they want to question everything and debunk everything. If they take it to its most logical level, they would have to debunk themselves. They are at least trying to make little secular humanists, which are not atheists in the commonly assumed sense of the word, but they have faith in themselves. Interesting. That's a very good observation, Sharon. Thank you very much. This one from Andrew in California. He writes, inquiry only means something as a word if one has the freedom to inquire and, in fact, is encouraged to inquire into all the possible ideas, and they're presented equally. I doubt that this is the case here. that they are presenting the best arguments for creation and evolution positions. That's true. I mean, the whole thing about evolution being kind of the theme of the day at Camp Inquiry, if it is open and honest inquiry, well, maybe the young minds there at Camp Inquiry have all examined all of the arguments for creation, not just the biblical ones, but the ones that are made from archaeology and solid science, and maybe they found them all wanting. Who knows? But it didn't sound as though there was much inquiry going on in that area of inquiry. Keith in Nebraska writes us. He says, I have never heard a rational explanation which explains what the basis is for knowing that the scientific method can reveal absolute truth. What is the basis for this knowledge? Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a difference between science and scientism. Science is a method. It's a tool. Science is observation, careful drawing of conclusions, and then testing those conclusions by repeatable experimentation. That's what science is. Scientism is, and this is in partial answer to your question out there in Nebraska, Keith, scientism is the assumption that only this method, only this tool, can give us access to any truth worth knowing. It's really a kind of a blind faith in the scientific method with this presupposition that the only thing that is are the things that can be observed through that method. It's called materialism, usually. Now, you will not find people openly saying the only thing that we can know are the things that we can observe through the scientific. Well, actually, they do say that, don't they? But it's a good question, Keith. Why exclude all other avenues of knowledge except our own careful observation? Why? Why rule out of hand, a priori, without any examination, other means of knowing things? Steve is calling from his cell phone. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Great. Two thoughts. Thought number one is, we're in this kind of weird situation where and the American church is anti-reason and pure emotion. And then, so what happens is when we bring in any type of intellectual discussion, whatever it may be, systematic theology or whatever, they freak out. We also live in this world where you have we're talking with the atheists, where they only what they can observe. Of course, they can't tell me how all the matter in the universe got to one point for the Big Bang. That was just a random accident, I guess. But what I find is Lutherans, we're kind of in this interesting middle ground where we accept reason and we accept faith, and we realize there's a, in some degrees, let's call it a natural tension or it's a paradox between the two, and the other two sides seem to freak out over that paradox.
I wouldn't say it's a paradox, Steve. Thank you very much. It's a great observation, but I would not say it's a paradox between reason and faith. It's the proper order between reason and faith. Luther's famous for saying a lot of very nasty things about human reason. And many of his pronouncements about human reason are completely misunderstood by Luther and by other Protestants and by many, as though Luther were against reason. He isn't. He's against the wrong use of reason. When reason usurps the position of mistress instead of being the maidservant, then that's when Luther said that reason is a whore. That's his most famous statement. But only when it tries to usurp its mistress's position. Faith is mistress. Reason is maidservant. Reason serves faith. And where faith, grounded in Holy Scripture, speaks clearly, reason does not gainsay what Scripture may say. So it's always used in it's called a ministerial sense rather than a magisterial sense. Reason is good. In fact, Luther says that reason is among those first article gifts that God has given us. He has given me my eyes and ears and all my senses and my reason. He gave it to us. In fact, you couldn't even read the Bible without reason. You couldn't listen to a good Christ-centered cross-focused sermon without employing your reason. We don't turn the brain off. The brain becomes servant of the Word, servant of faith. Never usurping the master's position. Tomorrow on the program, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of our Lord. The church remembers the Virgin. Tomorrow on the program, we'll do the same. You know, the early church said Mary needs to be called Theotokos, Mother of God. And they made that conclusion because, actually, they were using their reason. They made that conclusion because Jesus is fully God and fully man. And the child born of Mary, the child that came forth from her womb, is our God, Jesus Christ. It's a good conclusion. It's even a reasonable one. We're responding to your questions and comments on Camp Inquiry, 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's audio open lines. Or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. IssuesETC.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines. Camp Inquiry is our subject. Mark is calling from his car. Hi, Mark. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Pastor Todd. You were talking about the atheist using something of a scientific method, looking at the world, making observations, and then stating a proposition and reasoning from that proposition. And I had a quote from Jonathan Edwards, which has really just really influenced me in my life, where he says something along the lines that this is the way we do it. First, we proceed a priori, making observations, making a proposition, and then reasoning from that proposition. My complaint about the atheists is that they're false to their own method. In other words, they say that, well, there simply can't be miracles because they've never seen them and they can't repeat them. But that doesn't mean that it's never happened at some point in the world. So I think that they're being false to their own proclaimed method of making an observation and, you know, stating a proposition from that method, because they're stating a proposition that they have no evidence for, no miracles, and then reasoning from it and, you know, creating this huge system which denies, you know, the evidence of or the testimony of, you know, the biblical witness and everything else.
Thank you very much, Mark. Interesting, isn't it? It's a prejudice against we would call it the supernatural or miracles or the supranatural, whatever you want to call it. It's a prejudice against God or God's activity in the world. It's ruled out of hand even before you begin. It's dismissed as impossible before you begin. Now, even good science doesn't do this. Even good science speculates, draws, forms theories, if you will, about things that are not observed, but only inferred from things that are observed. Someone says, well, miracles don't happen. How do you know? I've never seen one. Well, a lot of things happen that I've never seen, that I've never personally observed. Well, someone else has observed them. You know what? The same is true of miracles. In fact, there's a very reliable historical record of all sorts of miracles, including a death and a resurrection, based upon the personal observations of men who, for no reason, should be doubted. I mean, they may have been biased in favor of their Lord and Master Jesus Christ, but they saw what they saw. And yet this record, the New Testament, we would say, is somehow also ruled out even before it's examined. Oh, that's a Bible. Well, let's just look at the Bible as you would any other book. Isn't that what everyone always says? Let's look at the Bible as though it were any other book. It's simply a record of what men saw and observed. Why should we rule that out? Why should we be prejudiced against such a record without examining it? Okay, let's listen to the rest of the story from National Public Radio on Camp Inquiry.
If atheists and agnostics are in the majority at Camp Inquiry, they're often alone in their schools and neighborhoods, where polls show that 9 out of 10 people believe in God. That afternoon, the older campers gather in the shade of a large wooden shelter. They sit at picnic tables talking with DJ Grothe, whose Point of Inquiry podcast has made him a celebrity in the secular community.
How many of you are out as skeptics?
A dozen hands rise.
Have people just really flipped out hearing that you don't believe what everyone else believes?
Yeah.
Grothe turns to Sam LaBarge, whose immediate family is not religious, but who has many Catholic relatives.
Well, I don't think I'm an atheist. I just don't have any beliefs. Right. So I tell my family this, and they think I'm the devil because I don't believe what they believe. So it's kind of...
Members of the group nod in sympathy. Bria Sutherland says she came out accidentally when she swore in front of her grandmother.
She got really, really mad, like, oh, my God, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And I kind of thought about it for a minute. And I'm like, but he's not my Lord. And she's like, he is all of our Lord.
Every kid has a story. Finally, Troy Salone speaks up.
I have my religion that I call myself right now as a Christian. But like I said, if, you know, I get proof that there is no God and that Christianity is just kind of a wild goose chase in a way, then I would completely abandon it.
Bria rushes to assure him that there is no God.
I think if God really, really wanted us to, like, know for sure that he existed, he would make, like, daily appearances, like, oh, it's 3:15, God time.
The session is winding down, but I have a question.
One reason people believe in God is because they don't like to think that when they die, it's all over. Is this something that bothers you or you're okay with?
If you think about it, before you go to sleep, you can't sleep.
12-year-old Chloe Morgan finds the prospect of death unnerving.
And it's kind of scary because I started thinking about it when I was, like, 9. I stayed up a whole night because that's all I was thinking about, and in the morning I was just like, oh.
The group falls silent as Jared Nauman, one of the quieter but more confirmed atheists in the group, speaks for the first time.
I'm terrified of not existing, and I'm kind of stuck there. I don't know what else to think.
But here you all are skeptical of the afterlife, but you're not sitting alone in a room just obsessed with it. You're at Camp Inquiry, you're having fun. Right?
Until now.
And now.
Yeah.
There was this awkward silence.
Deep down, it's tough.
After a few uncomfortable moments, Jared and his friends stop pondering the meaning of life and death and move on to the water balloon fight. Because these campers are not just budding philosophers, they're also kids. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
It's interesting, the young man in that piece who said, you know, I'm still a Christian, but if someone can show me that Christianity is false, I will abandon it. You got to commend a kid like that. He's following in the footsteps of none other than the Apostle Paul himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, if Christ is not raised, then everything I've told you is nonsense. It's all empty and hollow, and we are of all men most to be pitied. There's no use in believing anything we've taught you as apostles if Christ is not raised. Christianity proclaims itself to be absolutely true, but it also, very boldly, proclaims itself to be falsifiable. In other words, it's not true regardless of the facts. Christianity is a factual religion. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, then none of it's worth believing. Perhaps none of it's true at all. Christianity, contra atheism, says there is a circumstance under which Christianity could be proven to be false, if Christ is not raised. Of course, St. Paul goes on to say, yet Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Joe's calling from his car. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well.
Your promo that you played in the last commercial said it's not about you, it's about Christ for you. And I guess the question I would ask is, how many people really understand that? And I ask that because they were talking about how alone these kids feel in their classrooms and things like that. If they're being condemned by the people around them, the supposed Christians, are those Christians any better than the kids they're condemning is one question. But how few are the people who understand that it is about, it isn't about us, it is about Christ for us? Aren't they almost just as alone, even in their own churches sometimes?
Oh, agreed, Joe. Thank you so much for saying that. Let me explain what Joe said there. The Christian who says to the atheist, hey, you and your godless universe, you don't have the great moral system that I have. Don't you know I'm living by these principles of Christianity? It's making my life better. I'm sorry, that's as empty as atheism. That's as useless as atheism. The Christian who says to the atheist, do you understand that it's not about me and it's not about you? It's about Jesus Christ for us sinners? Now there's something. There's everything in the Christian faith, all in a nutshell. That this religion isn't about me finding my way, me finding truth, me inquiring, me talking about it, me wondering what happens to me after I die. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity isn't about me, it isn't about you, it's about Jesus for us. It's about the life he lived. Now we're talking facts, folks. The life he lived in real time for us. Guess what? This little atheist said, if God really wanted us to know that he exists, he would make daily appearances. He has made an appearance, but you know, God isn't that concerned that people know he exists. That's already built into us. St. Paul says, everyone knows God exists, whether they deny it or not. They know. That's what drives the atheist. The fuel that drives the atheist is the natural knowledge of God that they try their hardest not to know. But God is not in the business of proving that he exists. He's got bigger fish to fry. God's not in the business of proving he exists. God's in the business of saving sinners. If he only wanted us to know that he exists, he'd just show up every day at God time. She's right. But his biggest concern is saving us, not convincing us. And so he did what he had to do to accomplish that goal, to save the world. He did make an appearance in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, with one goal in mind, not to argue us into some sort of generic theism, but to give his life as a ransom for the world. That he did. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.